And now, live from Tribune Tower, Chicago, this is the WGN Radio Theater with Carl Amari.
Dragnet.
The Jack Benny Program.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
Yes, it's Maxwell House Coffee Time, starring George Burns and Gracie Allen.
Good evening, friends of the Inner Sanctum.
We offer you Escape.
It's time once again for another comedy episode of Our Miss Brooks.
Suspense.
Countdown for blastoff. X-1.
Richard Diamond, Private Detective.
The Johnson Wax Program with Fibber McGee and Molly.
Kraft presents The Great Gildersleeve.
Yeah.
About 11 minutes after 11 p.m. here on a Saturday. I'm Carl Amari. This is the WGN Radio Theater. It's June 11th, and it's program 85 in the series. To my right, the vivacious and dimpled Lisa Wolf. What's up, Lisa?
Hi, Carl.
Shane Reardon is in the booth there, our producer. What's up, Shane?
Hi, guys. How you doing?
All right. We're going to get right into the show here in just a few minutes. We have a salute to Mickey Rooney. And we have him on a Lux Radio Theater broadcast of Young Tom Edison, also Suspense. So we have an hour-long Lux Theater and then a half-hour-long Suspense. Tomorrow night, Lisa, we're going to have his kind of his partner in the movie business, Judy Garland. And we'll hear her on a Lux Theater along with Mickey Rooney and then her on Suspense. So we've got a really cool weekend here of Mickey Rooney and Judy Garland. That's like you and me. I'm like Mickey Rooney, about his size. And then you're Judy Garland over the rainbow. You're a little over the rainbow.
Yeah, I thought you meant the cool part. We're pretty
cool.
And
you have a dog. She had a little, you know,
little Toto.
Toto.
Sure. Yeah. We're like the same person.
All right. All of this is brought to you in part by Cat's Pride.
It's time for Celebrity School. Brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow.
This actress stars as Sister Mary in the TV series The Young Pope, about a nun from America living in Vatican City. And the winner of this contest wins a $25 gift card for Lou Malnati's Home of Chicago's Best Deep Dish Pizza.
All right, the number to call, 312-981-7200. Here's a hint. This actress played Annie Hall.
Oh God, Annie. Well... Oh, well, la-di-da, la-di-da, la-la.
Yeah. La-la, la-di-da. Call us 312-981-7200. If you know who that actress is, we'll find our winner after this break.
You are listening to Carl and Lisa on the WGN Radio Theater. We are playing Celebrity Scoop. Let's hear that movie clip again.
Oh God, Annie. Well, la-di-da, la-di-da, la-la, yeah.
Hey, Nancy from Arlington Heights, how are you?
Fine, how are you?
Great, we're so glad you got through, and we're hoping you can give us the right answer here.
I'm Diane Keaton.
You are right, Nancy. Thank you so much. You are a winner, and we're so happy to give you a $25 gift card for Lou Malnati's Home of Chicago's Best and my favorite pizza. You can check them out at loumalnati's.com.
Thank you so much, and I enjoy your show every Saturday. And Sunday night.
Oh, good. Thank you. Keep listening, okay?
Thanks,
okay,
Nancy.
Take care.
Nancy said it best. We're here Saturday and Sunday nights, 11 p.m. till 2 o'clock in the morning, playing your favorite classic radio shows here on the WGN Radio Theater. We have a Facebook page, and we have a website. The website is WGNRadioTheater.com, and the Facebook page is WGN Radio Theater.
See how that works?
All right. Mickey Rooney is the man of the hour. In fact, 3 hours, right?
Man of the evening.
Yeah, and he starred in a Lux Radio Theater hour-long presentation from 1940 of Young Tom Edison. He starred in the movie, and on Lux they did radio adaptations of movies. We have it for you now. Let's go back to December 23rd, 1940. Here's part one of Young Tom Edison on the Lux Radio Theater.
Lux presents Hollywood. The Lux Radio Theater brings you Mickey Rooney, Beulah Bondi, and Virginia Weidler in Young Tom Edison. Ladies and gentlemen, your producer, Mr. Cecil B. DeMille.
Greetings from Hollywood, ladies and gentlemen. Perhaps we should have wrapped it up in fancy paper and tied a red ribbon around it and called it our Christmas present to you. It's something a good many of you asked for, and I'm sure all of you want. Mickey Rooney and young Tom Edison. And tonight we are giving it to you with our best wishes for a very Merry Christmas. Have you ever thought how much we depend on Mr. Edison here in the Lux Radio Theater? For one thing, he developed the first microphone and motion picture projector and was one of the first to make pictures talk. Then, too, he's responsible for the bulb which is lighting your living room right now. So if it hadn't been for Edison, well, we'd just have to call the whole thing off. Our play, however, which was adapted from the Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer screen success, is not a scientific report. It's an exciting tale of the adventures of a small-town boy with a pack of original ideas, ideas that keep him in hot water. As a boy, Thomas Edison was a kind of Andy Hardy. That makes the casting obvious. The arrow points directly to Mickey Rooney, who comes to us this week from the set of his latest Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer picture, Men of Boys Town. And with Mickey tonight, we have Beulah Bondi and Virginia Weidler. In his later years, Edison gained the gratitude and admiration of the whole world for the things he'd done to make everybody's life easier and more enjoyable. And today, behind the scenes everywhere, scientists are working to make life easier still. In fact, they've done a lot for every member of our audience who's a Lux Flakes user. And I hope that includes every woman listening tonight. They worked for years, and always will work, to make our product outstanding in its field. That's our guarantee that Lux Flakes will continue to make your household tasks easier and pleasanter. We think science is doing an important job for us, and I'll make a little wager that the ladies will agree with us. Now here's the story of young Tom Edison, starring Mickey Rooney as Tom, Beulah Bondi as his mother, and Virginia Weidler as Tanny. The curtain rises on the first act. This is a story of triumph. The triumph of a typical American boy who was blessed with three gifts. Courage, imagination, and faith. His name might have been John Jones or Bill Smith, but it happened to be Tom Edison. When Tom was 15... the cellar of his father's house in Port Huron, Michigan, bore evidence of great things to come. For this was Tom's laboratory. An old workbench supported a homemade telegraph, and the battered desk was filled with chemical bottles, all of them impressively labeled poison. On the wall hung a length of rope, which ran up through the cellar door and connected with his sister Tanny's bedroom window on the second floor. This was Tom's latest invention. An automatic window closer.
Tom? Oh, Tom?
What do you want, Tanny?
Tom, there's a rope on my window.
I know it. I put it there last night.
What's it for, Tom?
It's an invention. A window closer. I pull the rope down here in the cellar and your window closes automatically. Saves you from getting cold in the morning.
Oh, Tom, that's wonderful. Will it work?
Sure it'll work. Hey, you want to see it?
Yes, try it.
All right, now watch. It's early in the morning and you call down and tell me you're awake and ask me to close the window. I go over here to the rope and pull it hard and the window closes.
Tom, you broke the window.
Yeah, something must have gone wrong. I'll be right up.
Tanny, Tanny, why can't you be more careful? You might have killed somebody slamming a window like that.
Tanny didn't do it, Pop. I did.
You were down in the cellar.
I did it just the same. I pull a string down there and it closes the window up there. I must have pulled it too hard.
I suppose it never occurred to you that the broken glass might have hit someone, cut them badly.
No, sir, it didn't.
No, it didn't. Come on to breakfast and take your hands out of your pocket.
Yes, sir, I'm sorry, Pop.
I haven't got enough on my shoulders without paying for broken windows. Any other father'd warm your pants, am I right?
Well, I...
Don't interrupt.
Sam, don't. I'm sure he's sorry. After all, it was an accident.
Accident. It's always an accident.
Now, Sam. All right, children. You'd better hurry or you'll be late for school. Goodbye, Tanny.
Bye, Mom. Bye, Father. Come on, Tom.
Yeah. Goodbye, Mom. Goodbye, Pop. I'll
be
over.
Watch out for that milk.
Oh, Tom.
Oh, I guess I knocked it over.
I guess you did.
I'm sorry. I'll clean it up, Mom. You just sit down.
No, Tom. I'll do it.
No, Mom, please.
Tom, the puppy! Oh.
Now what have you done?
I didn't see it, Pop. It was right on the edge of the table.
Go to school. Go to school before you pull the whole house down.
I'm sorry, Pop.
Go ahead, Tom. Go ahead.
Goodbye. Goodbye, Pop.
That boy's a real problem, Nancy.
Every time you wake up with a cramp, Sam Edison, you take it out on Tom.
I haven't got a cramp, and you pampering too much.
Well, he's a little different from the others.
Yes, that's what I'm worried about. He has that Yankee trait of tinkering with useless things. Like the window upstairs. Like that telegraph wire of his that old man Dingle hurt his leg on. If you remember, that cost us $11. Just wasted. You're inclined to be too easy with him, Nancy. If you're not careful, he'll be no good to himself or anybody else.
Well, maybe you're right, Sam. You're wiser than I am.
Now, Nancy, when you agree with me so easily, it makes me think I'm wrong.
No, truly, Sam. I'll handle the boy just as you say. After all, you're his father.
Nancy, you're a faker.
Yes, maybe I am. What are you thinking about, Tom?
We better hurry or Miss Howard will be mad. You know, Tanny, I think I've got it.
Got what?
The way to fix that window. I'll put a spring under it so it don't fall so hard and then the glass won't break.
Oh, gosh, you're smart.
Oh, no, I'm not. I only wish I was.
You're smart enough for me. You know lots and lots of things.
Not half as many as I'd like to. There's so many things I don't know, it scares me. Princess, look at that grass. What makes it green? Why isn't it purple or black or yellow? What becomes of a noise after we can't hear it anymore? Say, wouldn't it be great if we could keep a sound?
Keep a sound? You mean like thunder?
No. Good things. Great things that people say. Men like George Washington and Ben Franklin. Of course, you couldn't do it, but it's a great idea just the same.
Yes, but don't think about it now, Tom. You've got other things to worry about.
What things?
Oh, just things.
What do you mean?
Well,
go ahead, what?
Tom, I didn't want to tell you, but Miss Howard's mad at you again.
Yeah, what for?
Well, you know, yesterday when she asked me to name the 33 states of the Union, You were tapping them out on the desk for me in Morse code?
Yeah, I shouldn't have done that. That was cheating.
Yeah, that's what Miss Howard said.
Huh? You mean she caught on?
Joe Dingle told her. He knows I can read Morse code, and after you left yesterday, he snitched on you.
Oh, I guess I'm in for it, huh?
She said she was going to make a stake in the cloakroom all day.
Is that all? Oh, I don't mind that.
You don't?
No. I got something I want to do anyway.
What?
Well, look, Tanny. You see this little bottle? It's hydrochloric acid, and this other one is concentrated ammonia. I'm going to mix them both together.
Yeah? Then what'll happen?
I don't know. That's what I'm going to find out.
Tom, will it make a noise?
I don't know. I never tried it before.
But how do you know it won't blow up?
I don't. That's why I want to mix them to find out. Hydrochloric acid. Yeah, that ought to be enough. No. Concentrated ammonia, just a few drops. Wow! And I don't have to worry about hydrochloric acid and concentrated ammonia anymore. They don't mix.
Come in, Miss Howard. Mom, it's Miss Howard, the teacher.
Good evening, Mrs. Edison.
Good evening.
Evening, Miss Howard.
Evening. I don't like to disturb you at supper, but I wanted to see you before it got dark.
Of course.
It isn't safe for a single girl to go walking around at night.
Sit down, Miss Howard.
Thank you. Is Tom at home?
Yes, he's in his room.
Then I can speak freely. I'm sorry to be the bearer of unpleasant news, but I suppose you've already heard what happened at school today.
Yes, I did. We had a long talk about it, Tom and I, out in the barn. I can assure you it won't happen again.
Mr. Edison, I don't believe whipping will help much. I might as well tell you, the school board has refused to accept any responsibility for the further education of your son.
You mean he's not to go to school?
Just that, Mr. Edison. Of course, if you want to appeal to the school board...
I certainly shall appeal to the school board.
I wouldn't if I were you.
Why not?
Because I shall oppose any such appeal.
Why?
Not only because of what happened today, but because he distracts the other children, gazes out the window, hums and drums on the desk with his fingers. The other day, he wanted to know what a cloud was.
Well, he's just inquisitive. He wants to learn things. That's all right, isn't it?
In its proper place, yes. But not in the middle of an arithmetic lesson.
You don't understand him, that's all.
Oh, nobody understands him. Mr. Edison, I don't wish to be unkind, but I suggest that you take the boy to Detroit to see a doctor. There's no question in my mind but that he's addled. Sadly addled.
How dare you? You're the one that's addled.
Now hold on, Nancy.
Compose yourself, please, Mrs. Edison.
There's nothing the matter with my Tom that a good teacher can't fix. I taught school in Canada, and I know. You haven't the patience nor the understanding to be a teacher.
Well, I never.
Tom's a good boy and just as smart as any boy in school. Never did a stupid thing in his life. You're the one that's stupid.
Me?
Yes, you.
Now, Nancy, you'd better go, Miss Howard, before something happens.
With pleasure, I assure you.
You're just a silly old maid, and you don't have to worry about walking around in the dark. Nobody's going to bother you.
Oh!
Sam, I'm surprised you didn't defend your son.
Didn't seem necessary, Nancy. You were doing a pretty good job.
Saying that Tom is addled, that's perfectly ridiculous.
She's not the only one, Nancy. The whole town's saying it. Everybody thinks there's something wrong with the boy, especially after today.
Oh, Sam, I wish they understood Tom as I do. He's different from other boys. He's looking for causes, not effects.
I think he found both today. Where are you going?
I'm going to take him something.
Now, Nancy, don't pamper him.
He has to eat, Sam. Tom?
Yes?
Well, Tom?
Hello, Mom.
Your friend, Miss Howard, was just here.
Yeah, I know. I heard her.
Have you been crying, Tom? Have you?
It's not about the licking Pop gave me. It's just that what he said is true. By tomorrow morning, everybody will know I was kicked out of school because I'm addled. Crazy.
You're not going to be afraid of what anybody says. Not tomorrow nor any other time. Port Huron isn't the whole world, Tom. There's a much bigger world beyond here. And someday you're going to be a part of it. An important part of it.
Mom, you know I'm not addled, don't you?
Why, of course you're not, dear. Silliest thing I ever heard.
But Pop thinks I am.
No, he doesn't.
I heard him tell you.
Shh, your father's just a little upset. Now try not to worry him. He loves you. He loves all of us.
All right, Mom. I won't do a thing to bother him.
That's a good boy. Now, won't you eat something?
I don't feel like it.
There's something there you like very much. Look.
Apple pie and milk. My favorite. Oh, thanks, Mom.
All right, that's the first portion of the Lux Radio Theater. We're breaking this up into four parts because it's an hour-long Lux Radio Theater presentation of young Tom Edison starring Mickey Rooney. It's really the version of Edison's youth in Port Huron, Ohio, Lisa. That's what this movie's all about.
This movie?
Well, it was a movie.
Oh, yeah, it was a movie.
And now adapted on radio.
Radio show.
Yes, indeed. Rock on, Lisa Wolf. Rock on, Shane.
See how cool we are, Carl?
We are pretty cool.
Party on, Wayne.
We try really hard, though.
Garth, party on. Oh, those were funny movies, man, I'll tell you. Right?
Right, yes.
Remember who was the hottie in those with that was like had a crush on Garth?
Me?
Do you remember who the hottie was? No, not you.
Not
Kim
me.
Kim Bassinger.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
Basinger,
she
Bassinger.
She is a hottie.
Oh, my gosh. I'll see. Yeah.
She's a little older, but right, Shane? But, you know, she's a hottie.
I'm definitely familiar.
Mm-hmm. Okay, how familiar?
Not familiar at all. I don't know who Kim Bassinger is. I mean, I've seen the movie, so I know who she is.
She's the blonde. You know,
she was in like Nine and a Half Weeks. Do you remember that movie with her?
Yeah.
Oh,
with Mickey Rourke.
That was a really
nine
good
and a half
movie.
Weeks.
Well, there my personality.
She was also in that movie with Russell Crowe, L.A. Confidential.
Oh yeah,
that was a good movie.
She's beautiful.
Yeah, she really is.
She's
all right. Not as beautiful as you.
Well,
though,
a lot
Lisa
of people
Wolf.
Confuse
not
us.
Not as beautiful as
yeah,
you, Lisa.
Yeah, we both kind of have the same appeal.
Why are you in radio? You're so beautiful. You shouldn't be in radio.
Right.
You should be on television and in the movies.
Kim and I, we've been hanging out.
Yeah.
So you know.
But you are good on the radio too, though. I mean, you're multi-talented. That's
right.
The whole thing.
Well, gee.
Lisa can do it
thanks.
All. She can do radio. She can do television.
Mm-hmm.
She can cook Mies meals.
Well, I'm better at something.
You're good at Mies meals.
Yes, I am. I'm,
she can't
I'm
make
good
a
at following
microwave hot dog, but she can make Mies
you
meals.
You tell me I'm terrible at following directions all the time, right?
Yeah.
You do say that to me.
Kind of.
Yeah.
You definitely have your own beat the drum. You beat your own drum.
That's close.
You bang the drum slowly.
That's close, too.
Who was in that movie, do you know?
Good, beating my own drum.
Bang the drum slowly. Good movie. Robert De Niro, one of his first movies.
Yeah, I saw that play.
Did you?
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, I never saw this movie, this Young Tom Edison with Mickey Rooney. Never saw the movie, but I'm enjoying the Lux Radio Theater presentation. So let's go back to December 23rd, 1940, as heard on CBS Radio. Here's part two of four parts of Young Tom Edison starring Mickey Rooney on the Lux Radio Theater.
Yes, ma'am.
What are you doing down in the cellar on such a nice day?
Oh, just fixing up my chemical bottles.
Oh, well, be careful of your Sunday clothes.
I will.
Tom, how in the world do you know what's in all those bottles? They're all marked poison.
That's simple, Mom. I've got a secret number on every one of the bottles. I look up the number in my little book, and then I know what's in the bottle.
Well, that's rather complicated, isn't it?
Yes, but if any of the other kids come down here, they'll be afraid to touch them.
That's not very sociable, Tom.
No, but it works. Oh, Mom, I fixed that broken window in Tanny's room.
I saw it, and you did such a nice job, I'm going to give you 10 cents.
10 cents?
Mm-hmm.
Gee, Willikins. But I broke the window.
Never mind, it was an accident. Here's your 10 cents.
Oh, Mom, gosh, that's great. Now I can send for that chemistry catalog.
You'll do nothing of the kind. You're going to spend this 10 cents for candy and eat it, like other boys do.
But when I eat the candy, Mom, it's gone. The chemistry book,
No candy, no 10 cents.
That's a lot of candy for one fella to eat.
Well, you can share it with Tanny.
All right.
Now go on out for a nice walk or something. Get a little air.
Yeah, I told Mr. McCartney I'd be down to the station today. He lets me fool around with the telegraph stuff.
Tom, you won't get into any trouble today now, will you?
Oh, of course not, Mom. How could I get in any trouble down at the station?
Oh, I don't know, but sometimes I think you could get into trouble almost anything.
Hello, Mr. McCartney.
Well, hello, Tom. Hello, Tanny.
Hello.
Busy, Mr. McCartney?
No, not much doing on Sunday. Sit down.
Thanks. It's nice of you to let us come in here, Mr. McCartney.
All the other kids are jealous.
Well, seems to me, Tom, I owe you a lot more than I'll ever be able to repay.
Oh, now.
You mean about the time Tom saved your little boy from being run over by the train, Mr. McCartney?
I mean just that, Tanny.
Tanny, stop it. That's all over. Gosh, you
But you were so brave, wasn't he, Mr. McCartney?
Tanny, keep quiet. Now, that's enough.
All right, Tom. But you were brave.
Mr. McCartney, will you have a piece of maple sugar?
No, thanks.
Oh, it's all right. I got a lot more in my pocket. Mr. Inchpin gave me a dozen for a dime.
Well, don't mind if I do, then.
Here you are.
Thank you, Tom. Good.
Can we look at your telegraph?
Wait till number 7 goes by, Tom. That's her coming in now.
Tom, look at all the wires. Why do they need wires to telegraph, Tom? Why don't they send messages through the rails?
You can't. Rails are grounded.
What does that mean?
They're short-circuited.
Oh, gosh, you're smart. Could you be a telegraph operator, Tom? Like Mr. McCartney?
I don't know. I guess so if I kept on practicing.
Would you like to be a telegraph operator?
Well, sure I would. Only, gosh, there's so many things I'd like to do. Sometimes I'm afraid I'll never get around to all of them. Let's go and watch number 7 come in, huh?
All right.
You know what I'm going to do someday? I'm going to build a telegraph from my cellar up to your room.
You are?
Then we can talk back and forth and nobody will know what we're saying.
Secret messages, huh? Like spy.
No, like telegraph station. You'll have your secret call letters and so will I, and nobody will know what they are.
What are my secret call letters?
Oh, here. Wait till I get this rock here and I'll tap it out for you. Now listen.
Dash. Dot dash. That's T.A.
Mm-hmm. That's your secret call, T.A.
Gosh, I've got a telegraph call. I feel like a railroad station.
Oh. Let's go up and look at the engine, huh?
Hey, son, you there?
Tom, that man on the train's calling you.
Hey.
Yes, sir, you calling me?
What you got in that bag, son?
Maple sugar.
Fine, you want to sell me a piece?
Well, yes, sir. For a nickel.
All right, hand it up here.
Here you are, sir.
There's your nickel. How much did this piece cost you, son?
A penny.
Well, that's a nice little profit.
Yes, sir.
Hey, Sonny, you got any more?
Sure I have.
Well, bring it in the train. There's a lot of hungry people here.
I'll be right there. Tanny, I'm going to get on the train. You wait here, huh?
Tom, remember what Mom said. Don't get in any trouble now.
Oh, don't worry. I'll be right back.
Candy. Here you are, son. 10 cents. I'll take 2 of them.
Yes, sir, right here.
Let's have another one, boy.
Just a minute, sir.
Where's Bob?
I'm getting it, ma'am. Let's see now. I've only got 4 left.
Well, I'll take 2. Here's a dollar, kid.
Can you take me?
No, ma'am, I can't.
What?
Have you got change, mister?
Well, let's see.
Please, mister, hurry. The train's going to start.
Here
I've got to get... Oh, here you are, ma'am. Here's your change.
Wait, are you sure that's right?
Yes, ma'am. 90 cents. Excuse me.
Oh, yes. Thank you.
Hey, Gunn, I wanted another one.
I'm sorry, mister. I can't wait. I've got to... Hey! Hey, let me off! Let me off the train! Stop the train!
Come back here! Where do you think you're going?
Conductor, I've got to get off. Stop the train!
Oh, you're too late, son. We're on our way.
Oh, please let me go. I've got to get home.
Help!
Mister, please, my sister!
No. Don't try to jump now. You're on this train. You're going to stay. You can telegraph your sister from Detroit.
Detroit? Danny! Tell Mom I won't be home for supper!
When the train that spirited Tom Edison away returned to Port Huron, a reception committee was waiting for him at the station. His sister Tanny, his mother, and Mr. Edison looking very grim. But the boy who climbed down from the train that night was so changed that his family hardly knew him. On his cap was a sign, reading candy for sale. On his arm, a basket piled high with sweetmeats and newspapers. And on his face, a broad, self-conscious grin.
Well, oh gosh, can't somebody say something? Here, Tanny, I brought this doll for you.
Thank you.
And Mom, here's a little bouquet of flowers.
Tom.
And Pop, well, Pop, here, have a cigar.
Just what is the meaning of this?
Well, I'm in business.
In business.
Sam, it's very late. Suppose we talk about this when we get home. Come along. Come along, Tanny.
Mr. Nelson, he's the conductor, you know. He fixed it up with a railroad, and I bought the basket of merchandise on credit. Mr. Nelson lent me the cap, and I painted the sign myself.
Tom, it's beautiful.
Huh.
Sam, don't you think it's all right? I mean, well, it might help out, you know, Tom making a little money, and... Tom, you really think you can make money out of this, don't you?
Well, no, not an awful lot. Not at first, anyway.
But after a while, you can, sure.
Huh? Oh, yes, sure. You see, I was thinking that maybe I could get permission to put men on other trains. Who knows, maybe someday I'll have a lot of people working for me. People like to buy things on trains. Don't you think so, Father?
Perhaps. But I hope you don't think you've talked yourself out of a licking.
Oh, gee willikers.
You've got to be punished for climbing on that train and going away.
But that's not fair. I didn't mean to do it.
Shh, don't, Tom. Not tonight, anyway, Samuel. Yeah. Run along, children. I want to talk to your father.
Good night, Mom. Night,
Mom. Good night.
Good night.
Sam, he only wants to help out.
The son of Sam Edison, a peddler.
Well, if it keeps him busy till he goes back to school...
He can't go back to school. They won't take him.
I think they will, Sam. Something tells me there'll come a time when they'll understand him the way we do.
We?
Yes, Sam. When people find out he's not just a silly boy, but he's almost a man... And that deep down inside of him, there's something very real, something very wonderful, struggling for expression.
Nancy, you don't really think that, do you?
I know it, Sam. I'm as sure as can be.
I'm not as tolerant as I ought to be, I suppose. Father and son should be closer to each other, know one another better.
Why don't you have a talk with Tom?
I think I will, one of these days. Now, look here, Tom. I'm the conductor on this train, and I've got a certain amount of responsibilities. One of them is to look after the baggage car.
Now, what's all this stuff in here?
Just chemicals.
Chemicals?
Yes, sir. I thought I could set up a little laboratory in here and then I wouldn't lose any time on my experiments.
Well, I'm sorry, Tom. You'll have to get rid of some of this stuff. The car's so cluttered up, there's no room for baggage.
But, Mr. Nelson...
That's my last word, Tom.
Tom Edison.
Oh, here I am, Mr. Hodges' baggage car.
Well, I brought it for you, Tom.
Oh, the printing press?
Yep, here she is. Where's it go?
Right in here, Mr. Hodges.
You better give me a hand with it.
All right. Yeah, looks heavy. Mm-hmm. One, two. It is.
Here goes.
Oh, gosh, it's a beauty, isn't it? All my life I've wanted to own a printing press. How much do I owe you, Mr. Hodges?
Well, I carted it all the way over from the yard. Uh-huh. $2.
How much?
All right, make it $1.
Oh, that's better here.
You taking the press back home, Tom?
Well, I'm not sure yet. I sort of figured on keeping it in the car here.
Well, bye, Tom.
Goodbye, Mr. Hodges. Thanks again.
Any baggage? Come on and praise your time.
Just one piece, Mr. Nelson. Here. Have a corncob pipe, Mr. Nelson?
Huh?
Go ahead, take it.
Well, thank you, Tom. Thank you. I was thinking about getting a new one. Hey, what's that thing over there?
That's a printing press.
Printing press? Who's it going to?
Nobody. It belongs to me.
Oh, you're taking it home.
Light up your pipe, Mr. Nelson. See how it draws. It's a good one, you know. Costs 10 cents.
You won't have much time to use the printing press, Tom. You're not home enough.
That's just it, Mr. Nelson. I'm going to keep it in here in the baggage car.
But you're going to what?
Now, don't get mad. Let me explain.
Here, take your corncob pipe.
No, listen, Mr. Nelson, please.
I knew there was a catch to it.
There's no catch. I want to print a newspaper on the train right here in this baggage car.
A newspaper? Next, you'll be raising chickens in here.
Listen, Mr. Nelson, there's going to be a war between the states, and people all along the line are going to be anxious for news.
Well,
we can give it to them fresh, hot off the griddle. Well, every time the train stops, I can run into the station and get the latest news.
This railroad isn't in the publishing business.
No, but it's patriotic, isn't it?
Well,
if we can tell the people what's going on and tell them the minute it happens, we're not only doing them a service and the railroad a service, but we'll be doing the United States government a service as well. Don't you see that?
Well, yes, I do. But suppose the division superintendent finds out.
Oh, he'll thank us. He'll think we're loyal, patriotic Americans. And that's what we are, aren't we?
You bet we are. But remember, this is the last thing you're going to bring in this baggage car. Understand?
Oh, yes, sir. Here, Mr. Nelson, have another pipe. Huh? Weekly Herald, Papal here. McClellan appointed Commander-in-Chief of the Union Army. Oh, good morning, Captain Brackett.
Good morning, Tom.
Paper Captain, you got a new Commander-in-Chief, you know.
Yes, so I understand. And a good choice, too.
Yes, sir. Captain, I've been thinking...
Boy, a stick of licorice, please.
Oh, yes, ma'am. Right here.
Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Captain, I was wondering...
Yeah?
Do you suppose the Army would be interested in a new explosive?
An explosive? Yeah. Oh, they've got lots of explosives, Tom.
Oh, but this one's better than anything they've got.
That's so? What's the name of it?
Well, I call it the Tom Edison High Powerful All Explosive Number One.
Oh, something you made yourself.
Yes, sir.
You shouldn't play with explosives, Tom. They're very dangerous.
Oh, what's a little thing like danger when you're doing it for your country? This is a wonderful explosive, Captain. You want to see it? I've got it right here in my pocket.
Well, let's have a look at it.
Here. In this little bottle, see?
Well. What's it made of?
There's some sulfuric acid in it, and there's some nitric acid. And let me see. Some glycerin.
What was that again?
Sulfuric acid, nitric acid, and...
And glycerin?
Yes, sir.
Tom, that's nitroglycerin.
Nitroglycerin?
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, still, now, don't move, Tom. Don't move. Stop.
Here, what's going on? What's
that boy has a bottle of nitroglycerin.
Nitroglycerin?
Here, Mr. Nelson, you take it.
No, not me. You stay where you are.
Don't get excited, friends. There'll be no danger if we're careful.
Tom Edison, are you crazy?
I didn't know, Mr. Nelson. I didn't know.
Just you wait, young man.
You'll have to stop the train, Mr. Nelson. If he drops that bottle, it'll blow us all high in the kite.
Mr. Nelson, stop the train.
Now, you stand back. Don't you come near me. I'll pull the emergency car.
No. Don't do that. We'll stop too suddenly. You get to the engineer and tell him to slow down gradually.
All right. Don't you move one step, Tom Edison.
No,
just keep perfectly still, Tom.
Captain Brackett,
I'm nervous. I'm shaking.
Well, stop it. Stop it.
Don't you think you better hold this?
Well, it doesn't make much difference who holds it. It's who drops it. And I'd rather it wasn't me.
But if I could only...
Stand still. Oh. Stand still.
All right, I will, sir.
No, it's slowing down. Somebody open that window.
Open the window.
I'll do it.
Oh, Captain. We're on a bridge. We're over a river. Oh. We'll all...
No, we won't. Now, listen, Tom.
Yes,
you walk over to that window. Slowly now, and throw that bottle into the river.
Yes, sir.
Now, wait. Throw it gently, and away from the bridge. Downstream. You understand?
Yes, sir, I do.
All right, stand back, everybody.
Oh.
Now, Tom, throw it.
All right. One, two, three. Oh, it's all right, sir. It went into the river.
Oh, dear.
Oh, it's all right, lady. Everything's all right now. Oh, guys, I guess it floated into a rock.
That is part two of the Lux Radio Theater presentation of Young Tom Edison starring Mickey Rooney. We have a salute to Mickey Rooney on this edition, which is edition 85 of the WGN Radio Theater. To my right, Lisa Wolf and Shane Reardon in the booth, our producer. Hope you're enjoying Young Tom Edison. We'll get back to it in a few minutes, but first, let's take a break. All right, it is 12:07. Thank you, David. It is hour two of the Lux. All right, well, no, of the WGN Radio Theater. I almost said hour two of the Lux Radio Theater.
See, you're back in time.
We're listening to the Lux Radio Theater. We'll get back to it in just a few minutes. These are hour-long radio adaptations of movies. Lux was the most extravagant show in radio. I believe that this show cost about between $50,000 and $100,000 an episode to produce back in the 1940s, 30s and 40s. This was a super expensive show, and Lux soap. It was called Lux toilet soap. I don't know why they called it that, but that's the name of it. Lux toilet soap. It was used for laundry. They were footing the bill like close to $100,000. Back then, that's like millions of dollars now to put a show. Well, I mean, when you think about it, Netflix and some of these networks, they pay millions of dollars for an hour-long TV show, so I guess it makes sense, right?
Did you have your hot chocolate tonight?
I'm all hopped up.
Carl's hopped up. We did have somebody asking us on a message. He didn't, but he sounds like he did, right?
I'm a little hopped up.
I hear that.
All right.
Okay.
We have Mickey Rooney is the salute. We're saluting Mickey. And, yeah, I was on a plane with him. I literally, it was an L.A. to Chicago flight. And I really wanted to talk with him, and he didn't want anything to do with me.
I understand
that
sentiment.
It's like this annoying person over here.
Yeah, I know. I feel like that every
day.
His
wife could not have been nicer, though.
Well, the girl, you know, the women are always nice.
She was nice. He never looked at me. He was kind of looking straight ahead.
I try to look right past you when I'm talking to you.
Straight ahead.
I look right out the window.
I was so excited because I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden, here comes Mickey Rooney and sits down next to me.
Yeah, you mentioned that. He sat next to you on a plane.
And you know what was really weird, on the same flight, Vern Troyer was on the flight too. You know little Vern Troyer?
Did you talk to him?
Yeah.
Oh, you did talk to him?
Yeah, I talked to Vern.
Well, he was more your height.
Yeah, I talked to Vern. My brother was on this flight too. Vern Troyer, you know who I'm talking about, Shane? You know, from the Dr. Evil?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, many
Vern Troyer, the smallest person I've ever seen in my life.
He probably said the same thing about you.
He was the littlest guy. And he dropped a $20. He was tipping someone, he dropped a $20 bill, and my brother said, "Excuse me, you dropped some money." And he said, "Thank you very much." He had a very high voice, a very high voice. And it was very funny.
So was that the whole conversation?
And then you know who else was on the on the flight?
I don't.
Roseanne Barr's husband, Tom Arnold.
Tom Arnold, okay,
I don't think they're husband and wife any longer.
Long overdue.
But it was a celebrity-filled flight.
And you, of course, and your brother.
Thank you very much, Lisa.
Yes,
flight. Mickey didn't want to talk to me.
I'm glad I wasn't there with you.
He did not want to talk to me. All right, we are going to tune into part three of the Lux Radio Theater in just a few minutes, all brought to you in part by Cat's Pride.
It's time for Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow!
This actor has a cameo in the TV series Vice Principals, a comedy centering on the plotting vice principals who run a high school.
All right, you win what?
A $25 gift certificate for Lumel Nadi's, home of Chicago's very best deep dish pizza.
Okay, the number to call, 312-981-7200. Here's a hint. This actor was Ron Burgundy.
Well, that's going to do it for all of us here at Channel 4 News. You stay classy, San Diego.
All right, if you know who that is, call us 312-981-7200. Win a pizza. We'll find a winner after this word.
Welcome back. This is the WGN Radio Theater, and we are playing Celebrity Scoop. Let's play that movie clip one more time.
Well, that's going to do it for all of us here at Channel 4 News. You stay classy, San Diego.
And we've got Matthew on the line from Kenosha. Hi, Matthew.
Good evening, Lisa.
It's good to hear from you, and we're hoping that you know who Ron Burgundy is.
That is Will Ferrell.
It is the wonderful Will Ferrell, and you are a winner, Matthew. You know it. You've won a great $25 gift certificate for Lumel Nadi's, the best deep dish pizza, and we hope that you can visit one of their 40-plus Chicagoland locations, and you can always go online at lumelnadi's.com.
Wow. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I hope you'll think of us when you're having that pizza.
Oh, I will. It almost, you know, between you and Carl and Lumel Nadi's, I kind of want to move back to Chicago.
Oh, yes. Right. Are they in Kenosha as well? Are they in your area? Or you got to come around here?
Oh, no. I'll just come down there.
Yeah. All right. Well, yeah. come by the studio and we'll split a good veggie pizza with you.
We'll take a piece of pizza. Yeah, absolutely.
Lisa, can I ask you something?
Sure.
You know, you talk about your children and how long you've been married. Did you get married when you were 2 years old?
Close. I was three. So, but you were almost right on. But thank you. That's very kind of you. I'm just young at heart.
You sure are.
Thank you.
Thanks, Matthew.
Thank you.
All right. Have a good night. We appreciate you, and we appreciate all of our listeners. Thanks for tuning us in. We're here every Saturday and Sunday night from 11 p.m. until 2 a.m., although we do get here at 10 o'clock. We get here an hour earlier. We prep.
We do.
We do a little prep.
You know what? It's kind of like our little bonding session,
yeah.
So we get ready.
Right.
Right.
And we have a...
Carl takes a little longer to get ready
coffee.
Than some, but okay.
Lisa's not a coffee girl, though.
No.
She likes tea, though. Lisa's a tea girl.
Yeah, it's a little too warm
she's
out for tea. I've got my LaCroix today.
She's a teetotaler.
Yes, that's me, yes.
Yeah. All right, so we're tuning in to the Lux Radio Theater. This was a movie, Young Tom Edison with Mickey Rooney, and then Lux would take the movies, adapt them for radio airplay. Generally, they had the original film stars, not always, but about 90-95% of the time. They had them here with Mickey Rooney. Great supporting cast. Tons of great actors in this. Sponsored by Lux Soap. Cecil B. DeMille was the host. A big director of movies. You know, Ten Commandments and so many great movies. And we're tuning this in. Here's part three now of Young Tom Edison starring Mickey Rooney in the Lux Radio Theater.
You little fool! I'll teach you to bring chemicals on this screen!
No, Mr. Nelson, please!
You blithering idiot! Oh. You or my boy will do more than box your ears! Now get off! Get off this screen and don't you come back!
What do you suppose is the matter, Doctor? He says he can't hear out of that ear.
We'll just pour a little sweet oil in there. That'll help. Keep your head over on the side, Tom.
Yes, Doctor.
Mr. Nelson kept hitting him on that ear, Doctor.
Oh, you can't blame Mr. Nelson, Mom. It was my fault, the whole thing.
Just the same, he shouldn't have struck you. Tom, just think. Your candy and peanuts and oranges, all gone.
Oh, that's all right.
A fine state of affairs. All you've got to show for your work is an earache.
Everything happens for the best, Sam. The way Tom was going, it wouldn't be no time at all before he put the railroad out of business.
Oh,
hold still. Don't move, Tom.
Does it hurt, Tom?
Hmm? What?
Does it hurt? Your ear.
Oh, a little.
Do you think it'll affect his hearing, Doctor?
I can't say. Not until the swelling goes down. Oh. Sometimes there's nothing like a good box on the ear to sharpen a boy's senses. Eh, Sam? Well, I'll be running along.
I'll see you to the door.
Oh, by the way, how's that pain in your side, Mrs. Edison? Been bothering you lately?
Not a great deal, Doctor. I think it's getting better.
Tom. Tom.
Yes, sir.
There's one thing I shall insist upon from now on.
What's that, sir?
You're to get rid of those chemicals. Throw them away or dispose of them any way you like.
but you're never to bring them in the house again.
But why, Father, why?
Because I say so, that's why.
Oh, that's a fine reason.
All right, I'll give you another reason then, since you don't like that one. Because you're not competent to handle such things. You're too irresponsible
And addled? Is that what you mean?
Yes, Tom, I'm afraid that's what I mean. And from now on, there'll be no more experiments. You understand? You understand?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Laughed at by the townspeople, scorned by boys of his own age, young Tom Edison couldn't stand his troubled life in Port Huron any longer. So late one night, he left a note where his mother would find it in the morning.
It's no use, Mom. I'm a failure in this town. So I'm going away to Detroit and start all over. Love, Tom. P.S. I love you better than anybody else in the world. Please say goodbye to Father and kiss Tanny for me.
An hour later, found Tom in the telegraph office at the railroad station.
And you know I can read and send Morse code as good as, well, almost anybody, Mr. McCartney.
Yeah, it's so, Tom.
Well, then, would you recommend me for a job?
Well, yes, but who's going to hire a 16-year-old boy as a telegraph operator?
Maybe somebody will, in Detroit.
Detroit? Are you figuring on leaving home?
That's just what I'm doing.
Does your mother know it? You know you'll break her heart if you go.
And I'll break her heart if I stay. Will you lend me some money, Mr. McCartney?
Now, hold on, Tom. I'm willing to do almost anything for you, but I'm not going to finance you into breaking your mother's heart.
I'm doing it to help her. I've got to get away from this town.
Now, look, Tom. Why don't you just go as far as Fraser? Have a talk with your brother, Bill. Maybe he can straighten this out.
Bill doesn't know anything about it. He'd just make me come back. Mr. McCartney, won't you just lend me enough to get to Detroit? I'll pay.
No, Tom, I won't.
All right. That's number 9 coming. I'll ride in the engine with Mr. Miller.
Don't be a fool, Tom.
A fool? That's what you think of me, just like all the rest of them. Well, I'm going and you're not going to stop me.
No, I won't stop you, Tom. But I won't help you either.
Tom!
What? Was that? It sounded like Tanny.
Don't, Tom.
Tanny, what are you doing out at this time of night?
I found your note. Tom, you gotta come back. Mama's sick, Tom.
What's the matter with her?
I don't know, but she's awful sick. Pop left early tonight to go to Fraser's. He isn't back yet. Dr. Pender says we gotta get him and Bill. Right away, Tom.
Well, Father's probably on his way home now. I'll go to Fraser and get Bill.
No, you go to the house and stay with Mom. You can help. I'll get Bill.
You can't ride on the train alone. You're too little.
But Mom needs you. Please, Tom.
All right, but be careful. Come back on number 7 and bring Bill.
I will. Hurry, Tom, hurry.
Glad you're here, son. Your mother's been worried. Mrs. Edison, Tom's here now.
Tom, where were you in all this rain?
I was down at the station talking to Mr. McCartney.
Take off your shoes, dear. I know they must be soaking wet.
Mom. Doctor, what did she say that last? I didn't hear.
Come outside a moment, Tom.
Dr. Pender, is she awfully sick?
Yes. I should operate immediately. It's her only chance.
Well, why don't you?
There's no light. I can't perform a delicate operation by lamplight. I can't risk it.
But if you don't, what then will she...
Now, son, we'll do the best we can, but we'll have to wait.
Mom!
Go in, son.
Tom.
Mom. Mom, can I do anything?
You can help the doctor. Anything he wants. And tell Tanny to go to bed. You're the head of the house now till your father comes home.
All right. Mom?
Yes, dear.
Mama,
I was going to run away tonight.
Yes, dear.
I wrote you a little note.
I know, dear. Tom, whenever you're hurt, write a long letter saying exactly what's on your mind. Then read it and tear it up.
I was mad at Father.
I understand, dear. After all, when a man is hurt, he has to get angry with someone. That's what mothers and fathers are for.
I'm never going to leave you as long as I live.
Of course. Of course you're not.
Now, you try to sleep, Mom. I'll be right outside.
Dr. Bender, it's dangerous to wait till morning, isn't it?
Yes, Tom. Every moment we lose permits the infection to spread further.
Oh, we got a lot of lamps, 10, maybe 15 of them.
Lamp light won't do, my boy.
But you said yourself that if we wait around, she may... Dr. Pender, you've got to do it now. You just got to. You can't wait.
Tom, stop it. Believe me, son, it's the only thing to do. A doctor can't work in the dark. He needs light. Perhaps someday it may be different, Tom. Perhaps someday the world's work won't have to stop when the sun goes down. But that won't be in my time, nor in yours.
Dr. Bender.
Yes?
Doctor, I was just thinking, suppose I got a mirror. A big mirror. That'd help, wouldn't it?
Mirror? What good would that be?
Well, don't you see? A mirror reflects light and magnifies it. We could set it up in the dining room and put all the lamps in front of it and
then... Don't be ridiculous.
But, Dr. Pender...
What's the matter with you?
There's nothing the matter with me. I'm trying to save my mother's life. You need light to operate and I can make it for you.
Have you got a mirror in the house? A large one?
No, sir, but I can get it. I'll go down to Mr. Dingle's store.
He's not open.
Then I'll just break in and take it. They can't blame me if I'm trying to help my mother.
I don't believe this will work, but we can take a chance.
Yes, sir.
Go and get the mirror. And on your way back, bring Mrs. McConney.
Right.
We'll operate as soon as you provide enough light.
Doctor, is it over? Did you operate?
Yes, Tom, we did.
Well, is she... Oh, tell me.
You'll know very soon now, Tom. But I'm pretty sure that she'll be all right.
Oh, gosh. Thanks, Doctor.
Don't thanks. Thank me. You saved your mother's life, Tom. That mirror was an inspiration.
Oh, the mirror. The mirror? Oh, say, I'd better bring it back before the store opens. Mr. Dingle might be mad.
If I know Mr. Dingle, he'll tear every hair out of his head.
Yeah, that Mr. Dingle, he's going to tear the hair out of his head. I'd tear hair out of my head if my name was Mr. Dingle.
Yeah, I can think of so many jokes that I'm going to keep to myself about that one.
Probably should.
Yeah.
Especially if his name, let's not go
See,
there.
See, that's
not
what I'm
gonna,
saying.
I'm not even going to go
that's
there. Family,
go.
Family show here. That's part three of Young Tom Edison on the Lux Radio Theater. Mickey Rooney starring as Young Tom Edison. And I think I said Port Huron, Ohio. I meant Port Huron, Michigan. This was the story of him moving from Ohio, you know, his life from Ohio moving to Port Huron, Michigan. And one of our listeners caught that.
Yes,
I'll tell you
did.
What. A couple of our listeners.
That was from our
texted
text
it in.
Line. Yeah.
Yeah, we have a text line, folks. If you want to just reach out to us, tell us we're doing something wrong.
wrong or right or just chit-chat.
Yeah, or you want to just chit-chat, ask Lisa a question. You can text us at 312-981-7200. It's the same number to call to try to win a Lou Malnati's pizza once an hour. Right?
Right.
All right. So real quick, I want to talk about Mies Meals for a second, because Mies Meals is one of our sponsors, and Mies Meals has an amazing offer for all of our WGN listeners, which means you. They're going to give you dinner for two. This is a free dinner for two delivered to your home. Mies Meals will do this for you by just you going to their website, which is Mies, M-E-E-Z Meals.com, choosing from the menu of about 10 items, dinner for two, and you put in your information. They will deliver it to your home for you to try them out absolutely free, no strings attached. You just have to put the promo code RADIO, in there.
Right. I know people think that's a contract, and that's why it's free. It's not like that. It's literally just free. And the reason they do that is because they are so confident in their food and their delivery and their healthy, quality food that they want you to give it a shot. And they're hoping that you'll love it and want to order it. But if you don't want to order it, that's your choice. And if you do want to order it, that'd be terrific as well. So, check out the website, meezmeals.com, meezmeals.com. Enter promo code radio for your free dinner for two delivered to your door.
All right. And Roger, have you tried Mee's Meals yet?
I'm sorry. I have not had a chance.
What are you waiting for?
I know.
Mee's Meals.
Where's the support here from the newsroom?
They would make my life so much easier.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Roger.
You know,
yeah, I know.
Roger. Okay.
You know, here's the thing. How Lisa's four kids grew so tall and so strong and healthy,
right?
I'll never know
before
because
I even
Lisa
started.
Can microwave
macaroni
and cheese. That's about it.
Yeah.
Until
here's the gist of what I eat all
the
time.
What is that, a potato chip bag?
Those little goldfish.
Oh, I love goldfish.
They're addicting. But that's the gist of my diet, which must change, which is why I need the healthy foods
from
Mee's
Meals.
Check
out the website, and no joke, and see what you think. You can learn a lot about the company.
Do it this week, would you, Roger?
I will.
We're counting on you, Roger. Roger, we need you.
I know.
Okay. All right. One of our listeners texted and asked what television show from the 1960s had what?
It's a show that opened with one door and then opening and then like another opening and another. And he thought it was like a drama or a mystery.
Bum, bum, bum,
and
bum,
we both thought of Get Smart. It could be wrong,
but
we think
it has to be Get Smart.
Right? That's how it looks.
Shane's shaking his hand. Adams. Get Smart.
No, Shane's basically just the
nomad. He was the voice of Tennessee Tuxedo. Did you know that, Lisa?
And Inspector Gadget.
Yeah, that's right.
Right.
Inspector Gadget.
What do you believe?
Tennessee Tuxedo. Chumley?
Yeah.
Tennessee.
Remember that show?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Our age is showing.
Oh, my gosh.
Thank goodness that's all.
So, Inspector Gadget, was that then later when they made a movie out of that?
It was actually a cartoon series for a while. And
no,
then they
I
made
know.
The movie.
Yeah. Then they made the movie. And
but he was
that
the voice of the cartoon series.
Right.
Yeah.
Matthew Broderick played him in the movie?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Good job, Carl.
Hey, you know what? I took my cocoa. I had a little
cocoa. You had a little shot of hot cocoa,
yeah,
and you're
I'll tell you what, man. It sort of nullifies the black ice incident I had. Whenever I have the cocoa, helps with the black ice incident.
Right.
Roger, did you know I fell on black ice years ago? I've never been
Roger,
the same.
Roger, has he ever told
my
that
head.
Story?
Fell on black ice.
Let me think.
Yes.
Slipped on black ice, hit my head, and that's been...
Wait, what happened?
Here's what happened.
Roger.
Hey, Carl. Why don't you tell us about that black ice incident? That sounds interesting.
I think the very first decision I made after falling on the black ice was asking Lisa to be my co-host on the radio show.
That was the first smart thing you've ever done.
I was with you many years prior to that, so I know your good qualities.
All right.
Okay. All right.
How about the conclusion to the Lux Radio Theater? Want to hear that right now?
All right.
All right. Here's Young Tom Edison starring Mickey Rooney in the conclusion to the Lux Radio Theater.
Burglars, thieves, up and robbed. They broke in that door right there, see?
What did they steal, Mr. Dingle?
Well, they steal just a special looking glass imported from New York. I'd like to get my hands on him, that's all.
Excuse me. Oh, Mr. Dingle, here's your looking glass, Mr. Dingle.
What?
There it is, Dingle. Tom Edison's got it.
Come here.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Dingle.
Somebody get the sheriff.
Wait, listen. I had to have it, Mr. Dingle. You see, my mother...
Never mind your excuses. You stole it. That's burglary. I've got a good mind
Mr.
to
Dingle, let me
break
go.
Into my store, will
look
you?
Out for the looking glass.
I'll tan you good for this.
Please, look out.
Oh, now look what you did. You broke it.
I couldn't help it. You shoved
I'll
it.
Teach you to destroy people's property.
Oh.
Break into my store.
Oh,
steal my looking
out.
Glass. And
no,
then break
Mr.
it right
Dingle.
In front of all eyes.
Oh.
I'll teach you all right. I'll
please.
Stand in a car.
Oh.
You let go of the toy, do you hear? Now listen, Mr. Edison.
Let him go or I'll break
Now wait, Mr. Edison. Hold on. He broke into my store, stole a looking glass, and smashed it.
What? Is that true, Tom?
Yes, Pop. I had to because...
That's
Mom
enough. Go on home.
I'll attend to you when I get there.
But, Pop, if you'll only listen to
you me. You heard me. Go home.
Yes, sir.
Say, what's that about?
Something must have happened.
Well, I don't see any smoke. Can't be a fire.
Is Ed Hodges running up from the station? Hey, Ed!
What's the matter, Ed?
The bridge is out!
What did he say?
What's that, Ed?
The bridge is out. The storm last night gave way 10 minutes ago.
You mean the railroad bridge?
That's right. The whole trestle's gone to the gully 10 miles up the line. Number 7's due to pass there any minute.
Number 7? Wait, that's the train. Fanny is on. Number 7!
Tom, come back here!
Pop, I've got to go down to the station!
Tom!
Are you getting through them yet? Can't you get any answer, Mr. McCartney?
Give me a chance. Give me a chance.
You've got to reach them. You've got to.
Oh, no use. I can't get through to Ridgeway. The wires are down. Number 7 passes there in 3 minutes. That's our last chance to flag her.
Then she's a goner.
I'm afraid she is.
My wife.
She'll hit the river 20 miles an hour.
Quiet, please.
Bob. If you could get across the river, you might...
No chance, Mac. That'd take hours.
Mr. McCartney, listen.
Not now, Tom. Not now.
But maybe I can help. I've got an
idea. Leave me alone, Tom. Can't you see I'm busy?
Get out of here and let us alone.
I won't. My sister and brother are on that train. I've got as much right as anybody else to be here.
Is that so? Go on home.
No, please. Listen. I can send a message to the train.
The wires are down, and he can send a message to the train.
But I don't need any wires.
Tom, get out of this office. Go on.
Let him alone. He's got work to do.
Mr. Miller! Mr. Miller!
Any news, Tom?
No, Mr. Miller. Can I come up in the engine with you?
Not now, Tom. They may move me out of here any minute.
Please!
Now, Tom, listen. Get off this engine.
Mr. Miller, I can stop number 7 if you'll only let me.
Well, go ahead and stop it. Only get off of here.
But please, listen. I can send a message with that whistle.
With what?
With your engine whistle. Watch.
Take your hand off that torch.
I can send Morris code. Listen.
Morris code? Say, what's that you're saying now?
I'm spelling out danger. They might hear it on number 7 and stop the train.
Who's blown that whistle?
I am, Mr. McCartney.
Tom, that might work.
That's what I've been trying to tell you.
How can it work? It's code. Who's going to read it?
Tanny's on the train, my sister.
She's only a little girl.
But she understands code. You know she does, Mr. McCartney.
Yes, she does.
I suppose she's sitting in the train just waiting.
She'll hear it. She's got her own call letters, T.A. Please, Mr. McCartney, let me try it.
All right, we got to do something. Miller, get your engine moving. Run down as close as you can to that bridge and hurry. Tom, you keep on that whistle. I can't leave my station. Go ahead, and good luck.
Thanks, Mr. McCartney.
All right, Tom, we're pretty close to the bridge. They ought to be able to hear us from here.
I'm ready. All right. T-A-T-A-D-A-M-G-E-R. Oh, Danny, listen. Please listen. T-A-T-A.
I told Tom to go back to the house, and then I come and get you, Bill.
Is Mother very sick, Tanny?
I don't know, but Dr. Pender said, go and get your father and Bill. I suppose...
Well, then it must be pretty bad. I only hope we get there in time.
Bill, what's all that whistling for?
I don't know.
Honey, you know, it sounds like... Bill?
Yes?
It's Dots and Dashes.
What?
Morse code. Dash. Doc Dash. Dash. Doc Dash. That's me! That's my secret signal! It's Tom! Tom's sending it!
What? How could it be?
Listen. T. R. A. I. N. Green. S. E. V. E. N. 7. S. T. O. P. Bill! Somebody wants to stop this train! That's why they're whistling! Mr. Nelson! Mr. Nelson, come here! Mr. Nelson, you hear that whistle?
Of course I hear it. You think I'm deaf?
Somebody's trying to stop this train. Listen. 7. S. T. O. P. D. A. N. G. E. R.
What is she talking about, Mr. Nelson?
She's an Edison. They're all a little touched, you know. Her brother...
Keep the train number 7. Stop. Danger.
Be quiet, Tanny.
No, listen. B. R. I. D. G. E. Bridge. I. S. Is. O. U. T. They're trying to tell us the bridge is out.
yourself. Did you hear Mr. Nelson?
Please.
Do
stop
something.
The
Mr.
Nelson. Stop it. Do something. Hold on, everybody. Hold on. I'm going to pull the emergency cord.
Hurry. Hurry. Yeah, we stopped.
Let me at that window. We stopped, all right. About 20 feet from the washout.
Oh.
Good work.
It wasn't me. It was Tom Edison.
What, Tom?
Oh, John, the whole town's here to meet us. Tom, you're a hero.
Oh, I didn't do it. Danny stopped the train. I only blew the whistle.
Never mind, my boy. There's glory enough for both of you.
Now, what do you think of my brother, Mr. Nelson?
Finest lad I know. I said it before, and I'll say it again. Finest lad I know.
Tom.
Oh, hello, Pop.
Tom, I'm proud of you.
Oh, Danny's the one, Father. She...
I don't mean only this. I mean the looking glass and the lamps and your mother.
Oh, how is she? Is she going to be all right?
She's going to be fine.
Oh.
Why didn't you tell me about the looking glass?
You wouldn't let me.
That's right. I wouldn't. Sorry about that. Hereafter, Tom, maybe I'll learn to listen to you a little more carefully.
Ladies and gentlemen, as you all know, we're all down here at the station to say goodbye to young Tom Edison, wish him well in his new job as telegraph operator. Speaking for the railroad and myself, we're giving you this job, Tom, because you're a competent man, not just because you're a hero.
Mr. McCartney, I don't care why you're giving it to me. I'm glad to get it.
You're a real telegraph operator, my boy, and you're going to be a credit to the Grand Trunk Railroad and to me.
Are you ready, son?
Yes, sir.
Oh, Mr. Edison, meet Mr. Jackson, superintendent of the line.
Excuse me, Tom.
Mr. Jackson, this is Tom Edison's father.
Oh, how do you do, sir?
Goodbye, Pop. We're leaving.
Goodbye, son.
Goodbye, Kenny.
Goodbye, Tom.
And Mom. Goodbye, Mom. You know, I'm going to miss you terribly.
Goodbye, Tom. God bless you. And Tom, you mustn't forget this. A little package for you.
What is it, Mom?
Apple pie and milk.
Apple pie and milk. My favorites. Oh, Mom, thanks.
Goodbye!
Oh, goodbye, Mom. Goodbye, Mom.
Sam, there goes our boy.
Yes. A little while back, he was Sam Edison's son. Now I'm Tom Edison's father. And you know, I like it.
Now, here's Mr. DeMille with our star.
Two kinds of magic brought us this play tonight. Engineering magic of the kind that Edison invented, and the acting magic of Mickey Rooney. And here's Mickey now for a curtain call.
Thank you, Mr. DeMille. I was pretty scared, you know, when they gave me this assignment in the picture. A genius like Thomas Edison is nobody for a kid like me to fool around with.
For our money, Mickey, you were just about right.
You know, it got so that every time I turned on the light or put a swing record on the phonograph, I'd get the shivers. I couldn't push a button without it turning out to be something he had invented.
You certainly seem to have regained your courage.
Yes, sir. I finally remembered about the alarm clock, and that did it.
I've heard of it, Mickey. How did it work?
Well, it was a dilly, and I figured that anyone who could think that one up was a regular fellow. You know, he'd get up early and run down to his workshop in the cellar. And there he had a lever fixed up with a complicated bunch of ropes and pulleys that ran all over the house. And that connected with another lever in his sister's room. And the whole thing finished up with a string being tied on her toe so she'd be sure and wake up.
Sounds like a sound deduction, Mickey. He must have been a regular fellow.
Oh, Mr. DeMille, what's going to go on here next week?
We'll ring out the old year next Monday night, Mickey, with a new universal hit. recently released, A Little Bit of Heaven. And you'll hear the same star who appears on the screen, Gloria Jean. And with her, we'll have C. Aubrey Smith, Helen Parrish, and Frank Albertson. It's the story of a little girl who becomes a famous radio singer, but keeps her head while the rest of her family goes wild. We have an all-star cast and the 12-year-old singing star, Gloria Jean, in the leading role.
Gloria Jean, C. Aubrey Smith, Helen Parrish, and Frank Albertson. How can you miss with a show like that, Mr. DeMille? Well, may I say now, so long and a Merry Christmas to everyone.
Good night, Peggy. Good night, and same to you. Before we meet again in this theater next week, the most joyful day of the year will have come and gone. In 1940, there can't be anyone in this audience who isn't thankful for this blessing that is still ours to enjoy. Thankful that everywhere in America, there's still time for Christmas. So when your family gathers from far and near to join the celebration at your fireside, and the lights are blazing bright on your Christmas tree, when the children begin to laugh and play on Christmas morning, please add this hope of ours to the joy and blessing of today. The sincere wish of our sponsors, the makers of Lux Flakes and Lux Toilet Soap, and of all this radio family, that all your family enjoy the happiest of happy Christmas times. Our sponsors join me in inviting you to be with us again next Monday night when the Lux Radio Theater presents Gloria Jean, C. Aubrey Smith, Helen Parrish, and Frank Albertson in A Little Bit of Heaven. This is Cecil B. DeMille saying good night to you from Hollywood.
Virginia Widler's forthcoming picture is the Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer production, Keeping Company. Beulah Bondi is now working in the Columbia picture, Penny Serenade, with Cary Grant and Irene Dunne. Heard in tonight's play were Griff Barnett as Mr. Edison, Lou Merrill as Mr. Nelson, Earl Ross as Mr. McCarney, Warren Ash as Captain Brackett, Arthur Q. Bryan as Hodges, Stanley Farrar as Dr. Pender, Noreen Gamill as Miss Howard, Jack Lewis as Miller, Clarence Strait as Bill, Charles Seal as Dingle, and Celeste Rush and Philip Steed. Our music is directed by Louis Silvers, and your announcer has been Melville Ruick.
This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.
And that's the Lux Radio Theater, December 23rd, 1940, with young Tom Edison, starring Mickey Rooney, and a big cast there. Lux Theater, big, big radio show. As we talked about, $50,000 to $100,000 back in those days to put this show on the air. And you heard Cecil B. DeMille there talking a little bit about Christmas and, you know, enjoy the Christmas season and all that. There was a lot, Lisa, going on in the world at this time. You know, Hitler was really kind of taking over. We weren't in the war yet. There was a lot of things happening in Europe. It was very an uneasy time for us. We were, you know, listening to the radio all the time, you know, wondering when we were going to get into the war. And it was less than a year from this point, because here's December 23rd, 1940, and less than a year later, on December 7th, 1941, we were bombed at Pearl Harbor, and we got into the war that very day or the next day. And so, you know, it's kind of a capsule when you look at the, you know, when you listen to these shows and think about what was going on at the time that we're listening to these shows. It's, it really makes us be grateful today that we, you know, that we won that war and we all, you know, banded together. I mean, that was something in World War II to how we banded together and won that war and defeated, you know, the Axis powers and all that.
Well, I think also that classic radio was a respite.
Yeah.
And a way to, you know, be taken away and kind of relax from everything that's going on.
Escape. All right, let's take a break. Then it's more here on the WGN Radio Theater. All right, Lisa Wolf. It is time for hour three of program 85 of the WGN Radio Theater. It is 1:06 in the morning, and thankfully I had my cocoa.
Yes, I can tell. You're quite the chatty Kathy.
Still hopped up here, Lisa.
You're hopped
up. Lots of energy. I'm not tired. Not the least bit
tired. Are you kidding?
Normally I'm in bed by 9:04, 9:05.
Right, you're a few hours late.
Yeah. Going to make it till 2 o'clock in the morning here.
Are you sure?
Then I got like an hour-long drive home.
Ooh, Shane and I are fine without you if you feel like, you know, heading off early.
But you know what I do? Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Just trying to get rid of me, huh?
No, we're not trying to.
Yeah.
We're working really hard.
Yeah, we're not trying to.
We're
going to
kick you right out of here. And Roger's along with us, right, Roger?
Wait a minute. I'm up here. I'm not doing. How are we going to do this?
Look at security just walked in. They're trying to get rid of me over here. So, you know what I do, though? On the drive home, I listen to Nick DiGilio.
Well,
it's great.
Of course.
I love it. I hear all his movie reviews. It's fantastic.
I listen as well.
Yes, and then on Sunday nights, I listen to David Plyer.
As do I.
Yeah.
Ooh.
I love both those guys' shows.
Flip those around.
Wait a
minute. DiGilio Sunday nights,
Plyer. That's what I meant. That's exactly right.
Programming 101 there, Amari.
There is another black ice incident right there. See, there's a black ice incident.
There's
right
an explanation
there.
For it.
Roger, have you ever heard that story about the black ice?
Son of a gun. Was it a black ice incident?
You are funny. You are good. You cracked me up.
Happened when there was some black ice out there.
Get out.
Did
are
he slip
sure?
on some black ice?
No, Carl, you've got to tell us.
Hey, Carl, have you ever been on a plane with Mickey Rooney?
Let me think about this.
Were you in first class, perchance?
Yes, I was on that particular flight. Someone else was footing the bill, not me. It was a business trip. When I have to fly somewhere, I'll be willing to fly on the wing if it's cheaper and cheap enough.
Is that right?
Yeah definitely.
It's a big seatbelt.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Well, you know, but your hair is all, you see how nice it looks when
what
you
hair?
Get there. You
oh,
know?
I'm sorry.
No. Yeah, it's all slicked back really
this
nice.
This beat up on Carl night, huh?
No.
I like that. Yeah. I'm enjoying
Security
this.
Security is knocking over here trying to get me out of here. All right, on this hour of the WGN Radio Theater, we're going to tune into a half hour episode of Suspense, a great episode starring Mickey Rooney, because this is a salute to Mickey Rooney, and it's all brought to you in part by Cat's Pride.
It's time for Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow.
This actor directs and executive produces the TV series Preacher, about a preacher in a Texas town who was possessed by a supernatural force.
I've been watching it. It's really, really,
really
good. Yeah, Dominic Cooper's the star of it.
Oh.
And that's not this person.
No, it's not.
Terrific series.
And he's a terrific actor. And did you know he executive produced it?
Yes, I did. And I know he directs some of these. So the person we're looking for, you can win a pizza if you know who this is, right? From Lou Malnati's.
A $25 gift certificate.
312-981-7200. Here's a hint. He played Cal, Andy's co-worker and new friend, in the 40-year-old version.
Listen, the problem most men have is they just plain straight up have no clue how to talk to women.
Right, there you go. Just have no clue how to talk to women.
I love him.
I know, he's great. Give us a call if you know who that is. 312-981-7200. We'll find our winner after this.
All right, we are back. This is WGN Radio Theater. We are playing Celebrity Scoop. Let's play that movie clip again.
Listen, the problem most men have is they just plain straight up have no clue how to talk to women.
Yeah. Right, Sean? Is that ring true for you?
Oh, absolutely.
All right. Well, we're on the same page here. Sean, can you tell me who that voice is?
That is Seth Rogen.
You are right, Sean. You are a winner. You've won a $25 gift card for Lou Malnati's, home of Chicago's very best deep dish pizza, my favorite, Carl's favorite, and we're so excited to give you a gift certificate for that. Check them out online at loumalnati's.com.
Way to go,
awesome.
Sean.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Sean.
You know, I was really perplexed when they cast Seth Rogen as Britt Reed, the Green Hornet. That was just the
It's a very unusual choice.
Casting of all time. That's like casting me as Wilt Chamberlain in a movie. It's about the same.
You know, that's not the type of role that we have seen him in, clearly.
No.
40-Year-Old Virgin.
I just don't see him as, you know, Britt Reed.
Yeah.
The Green Hornet.
Yeah, he's got a real dry, witty sense of humor, which I do appreciate.
The guy that they cast to play Kato was fantastic, though, in it. But,
I didn't think, and
the movie was really pretty good. I mean, the special effects and the Black Beauty, the car that they drove and all the, everything else was great. But, I'm sorry.
Miscast.
Seth Rogen.
Because he's the best of the best, just not in that role.
Not in that role. All right. So it's time for Suspense, one of the best mystery shows of the golden age of radio. And we have Mickey Rooney starring in The Lie. Let's go back to April 28th. 1948. This 1949. Sponsored by Autolite. Here's part one now of Suspense.
Now, Autolite and its 60,000 dealers and service stations present Suspense. Tonight, Autolite brings you Mickey Rooney in The Lie, a suspense play produced and directed by Anton M. Leder. And now, Autolite presents Mickey Rooney in a tale well calculated to keep you in suspense.
You got the gate. Oh, shut up. I've been kicked out of better colleges.
Son, why don't you leave that bottle alone?
I know it's none of my business.
Are you my father?
Well, of course not. I'm only trying.
Well, then don't call me son. And you're right. It's none of your business.
Why, you fresh pup. If I were your father, I'd be ashamed to admit it. I watched where you got on. It's in the middle of the semester. Bounced out on your ear, weren't you? I know your type. Taking everything you can get from the old man and not giving anything back. Only grief and gray hair.
Oh, shut up.
Mansfield. Next station stop, Mansfield.
Put away that bottle, kid. You're home.
Mansfield.
The old hometown depot again. It didn't look friendly. Nobody was going to look friendly. A whole term's tuition fee shot for the third time. Well, Dad would try to cover up what he felt. But she wouldn't. Not glad. I could hear already in my imagination.
Oh, so you're home again. Guess you found out it was all a waste of time. They couldn't teach you anything in college. Maybe they ought to change things. Maybe they ought to learn from you. But make them pay, Marty, dear. Make them pay. Maybe we get back some of the money you've wasted. What do you think you are, a rich man's son? Oh, I knew you from the day I married your father. And I expect to see the day when I have to send you cartons of cigarettes up to the pen.
Well, I was going to hear it again. No way of stopping that mouth. To break the ice, I called home from the station. Busy. 5 minutes later, I called again. Busy. So I waited, and 5 minutes later, I called again. Talking. That's all she ever had under a peroxide. Talk with that cheap crowd of hers. It wasn't my dad on the telephone. He was in Baltimore working. Well, I grabbed a bus and went home. Glad. Hey, Glad, it's me. Hey, Glad. It's your loving stepson. Look at that. Didn't even bother to hang up the telephone. What a woman. Hello. What's that? Hello. Who is it? It was a man. It would be, with her. Heard my voice, thought it was Dad and hung up. Dad had come home early today. Plenty of signs. There was the paper he always picked up in Baltimore. Cigarette stub. And I knew it was his. It was that awful Turkish brand he'd been smoking since before I was born. No one else could stand. Yeah, he came home early. They must have gone out. I wandered into her bedroom. No reason, just wandered. You know what I saw? She was curled up on the bed. Yes, glad, curled up on the bed, sort of cuddling. No makeup. Hair all glued up with that bleach stuff of hers, and she was dead. But dead. Somebody had broken her neck. If ever a man deserved a break, it's my dad. If ever a man deserved a decent, loving wife like my real mother. If ever a man deserved the kind of son fathers dream about instead of the mutt, the rat I was turning out to be. Well, I didn't have much time for philosophizing. I got rid of the newspaper, cigarette butt. I mussed my hair, tore my clothes, picked up her dead hand with those purple cat-like fingernails, and I scratched it across my face. Ow! You'd think she was alive the way those nails dug in. And then I went to the phone.
Police headquarters.
Hello, this is Martin Delavan calling from 22 Beach Street South.
Yeah.
I think you better send somebody around to pick me up. I just murdered my stepmother.
For Suspense, Autolite is bringing you Mickey Rooney in radio's outstanding theater of thrills, Suspense.
Don't get cocky with me, young fella. And just remember that you put yourself in a jam that always turns out to be pretty rugged. And let's have the story again.
Look, I've told it to you twice.
Let's have it again.
You don't have to play McTavish of Scotland Yard. You don't have to find the killer. I told you I did it.
But you make it sound so exciting. Let's have it again.
Okay. Beginning where?
You were expelled from college this morning for drinking.
They always expel me for drinking.
You took the early afternoon train at State Junction, got out here about 6 and telephoned from the station. Take it from there.
The line was busy. I took a bus from the station. I came in without making any noise. Just didn't happen to make any. From the hall out there, I hear this... I heard my stepmother talking on the phone.
To a man?
Yes.
How'd you know it was a man?
I could tell.
Smart boy. What was she saying?
She said enough.
I'd like to find out what makes enough. Well?
What makes enough? The point when you put your hands around somebody's neck and start to squeeze.
She was two-timing your father, huh? All right, go on.
I guess I lost my head. I remember grabbing her by the neck just as she heard me and turned around, and I remember her fingernails coming up toward my eyes and digging into my face. Would you say she did a good job on me? Yeah, look at these scratches.
You did a better one on her. Well, this is about checks with what you said before.
Good for me.
You don't want to change anything?
I want you to take me downtown and book me.
There's no hurry. I want you to reenact this for us before a motion picture camera.
Movies? That'll be fun. Say, what's the matter? You don't look happy. Would it have pleased you more if you'd had to beat it out of me with a rubber hose?
Maybe. Maybe it would. Endicott.
Right here, Lieutenant, in the kitchen.
Now break out your camera.
Somebody burned a newspaper in the kitchen stove. The ashes are still warm.
Now, which paper? Can you make it out?
No. The ashes are all stirred up.
Did you burn a newspaper, kid?
Yes.
Why?
Well, after I killed her, I got kind of a chill, and I thought I'd start a fire.
And then you changed your mind.
That's right.
So you just waited for it to burn out, and you just stirred up the ashes, huh?
Listen, if people were always rational, they wouldn't commit murders.
Oh, psychologists, too, huh? Okay, set up the first shot from the hallway, Endicott, as he comes in.
Check.
Where's your father, Delavan? Where can we reach him?
I don't want him pulled into this. Leave him alone. Don't start jabbering at him, making things worse than they
are. Get hold of your blood pressure, Bob. It happens that you killed his wife. Now, where do we reach him?
He's in Baltimore. Henry Delavan Company, import and export.
Commutes every day?
Yeah, but he wouldn't be at his office now. It's long past closing time.
All set, Lieutenant.
All right with you. You like your old man, huh?
Oh, I guess he passes.
And that's all?
We haven't seen much of each other since he married that... Since he got married again. I get expelled from different colleges, and he balls me out, and I write him for checks, and he sends them.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's make our try for the Oscar, shall we? You just go through the motion, starting at the door exactly as it happened.
Without my makeup, Lieutenant?
Very funny. Except there's a dead woman in the bedroom. You better change your attitude, kid. Hey, who's this?
It's my father, please. Take it easy with him. Dad! Dad!
What's going on in my house? Monty, what are you doing here this time of year?
Let me break it to him my way.
You shut up.
Where's Glad? Where's your mother? And what are all the police doing around here? Monty, speak up.
All right. I'll give it to you straight. She's dead.
What? What do you mean?
You know what dead means? She's dead. I killed her.
No, Monty, don't say that. It isn't true. You don't know how...
I killed her. How would you know anything about it? You were in Baltimore. You were in Baltimore, weren't you?
Gentlemen, please.
I'm Lieutenant Steele.
Lieutenant, don't listen to my boy. He couldn't have possibly...
Don't try to tell anybody what I couldn't have done. You know, I always wanted to kill her. Anyway, you weren't here. You were in Baltimore until now, at your office.
I wasn't in my office.
Dad!
I didn't feel very well along about noon. I quit for the day. May I see my wife, please?
In the bedroom. And what did you do for the rest of the day, Mr. Delavan?
You don't have to answer that, Dad. You don't have to say anything. I've signed a full confession, Dad.
I went to a Turkish bath, and I stayed there for several hours.
Yeah, we can check that easily enough.
Of course. I'm sorry to say that my son is right, Lieutenant. I wasn't here.
When you commit a crime, it's as though someone snapped a switch and the sun went out. Now you live in shadow. You wear faded blue denims with your number on. You're surrounded by so much iron, doors and bars and the bed you sleep on. You weigh every word before you say it, because it might make the difference between living and dying. Most of the time, you're angling to live. By the time I was through, I made sure I would die.
All right, that's the first portion of Suspense with a Lie, starring Mickey Rooney, April 28th, 1949. Let's take a quick... No break? Oh, okay. We don't have to take a break, Lisa. So let's remind all of our listeners, because we have had quite a few people today say, what's on next week? What's on the week after that? Next week, we have a terrific lineup. We have a salute to Humphrey Bogart, and then that's Saturday, right. And then on Sunday, a salute to Ronald Reagan. So you won't want to miss next weekend. But coming up tonight when we're back, when Lisa and I are back at 11 o'clock, we have a salute to Judy Garland. And the very first episode that we're going to play tomorrow also has Mickey Rooney in it, because it's Strike Up the Band on the Lux Radio Theater.
Yeah, so, and I just want to mention also that you can see our schedule, what's coming up, at our website, which is WGNRadioTheater.com. And
right.
You can go to schedule and you can see everything. I don't know how many weeks out we've got it, but quite a few weeks ahead of you can check out what's coming.
Now, a lot of people have been texting saying that they really like these salutes, and other people are like, okay, we've had enough salutes, let's go back to the old format. We are going to be doing that soon. We're going to do a few more salutes, and then we're going to go back to the old format. And I thought it might be fun to do like 2 months every year. You know, we pick 2 months in a row, which is 8 weeks. Maybe that's too much. Maybe we'll just do it 1 month. But we'll do salutes maybe 1 month a year.
Well,
what
you guys
do you think
let us know what you think, because we want it to be what you want. So if you want more of those spotlights, let us know. And if you don't, let us know, and we'll adjust accordingly.
Yep. Thank you, Roger Badish. And Lisa has a live read. That's what it's called in the radio business.
Yeah, that's pretty technical stomping out there. Placing a loved one in a nursing home is one of life's most difficult decisions. You deserve only the best care for your loved one in return. Sadly, nursing home negligence is real, and it's a serious problem. Neglect and abuse of the elderly happen every day. The law firm of Konasek and Dillon wants you to know that nursing home negligence can cause serious life-threatening medical conditions, like like dehydration and malnutrition, fractures, infections, pressure sores, and even death. If you suspect a loved one is a victim of negligence or abuse in a nursing home, call Konasek and Dillon. The law firm of Konasek and Dillon will advise and help your family through the painful ordeal of injuries or death caused by nursing home negligence. Konasek and Dillon understands that entrusting a loved one to a nursing home is one of life's most difficult decisions. Protect your loved ones. Call Konasek and Dillon at 630-262-9655. Consultations are always free. Call Konasek and Dillon at 630-262-9655.
All righty. And that was that George Ezra guy, right? A little earlier. I like that song.
I do too.
And we did decide that it was, what is he saying again? He says, I would lose it all, or something like that.
I would leave it all.
I would leave it all. All
lose,
right.
Leave, it's all leave, the same.
Leave, lose, huh?
I just want to mention, we've had a few people come in the text in line. So one person says that they enjoy listening to the same person, such as Mickey Rooney, in two completely different genres, and would love 2 months of that. And then the next person texts and says, stop the salutes, bring back Boston Blackie and the Shadow and the Thin Man,
yeah,
that kind of thing.
I we're going to do that. We're going to do
so,
that soon.
Yeah.
I think we have a few more salutes. I think next week's going to be amazing because it's Humphrey Bogart,
right,
and Ronald Reagan.
Exactly.
You won't want to miss that. And then there's a couple more
weeks, and then we're going to go back to, you know, just a general lineup.
Yeah.
So we're trying to make everybody happy.
We try. Lisa does a great job of that.
Oh, well.
All right.
You got, it takes a lot of work.
All righty. You want to hear the conclusion now to Suspense? Ed Begley in this show, he plays the dad. Ed Begley is Ed Begley Jr.'s daddy.
Father.
That's right.
Oh, we were close on
that
one.
All right. Let's get back to this. Here's The Lie, Mickey Rooney starring on Suspense.
You did a bad thing, Marty. Why did you do it?
The important thing is that I did it. That's what we've got to keep remembering. Now, don't let me down. You haven't said anything, have you?
About what?
About you.
Well, what's there to say?
What's there to... Oh, I get it. I get it. Swell. Swell, we'll keep it that way.
Oh, I suppose I ought to be able to understand what you're trying to say, Marty, but I can't. I'm so confused. They keep hammering away at me, trying to break down my story, where I was, and...
Well, that Turkish bath routine wasn't very bright. They can check on that, Dad.
They did. There's no question about that, Marty. I was there.
When?
All that afternoon, from 2 until 5.
Who says you were there, besides yourself?
Well, the clerk, the attendants, the rubbers. Now, they all know me, Marty. I've been going there every Wednesday for months.
This couldn't be true. Everything else about the whole nightmare could happen. It was happening. But not this. He had killed her. He must have killed her. I'd hung a perfect frame on myself because he did it.
What's the matter, son?
Dad, how would that day's Baltimore paper get into our house before you came home?
Why, it's delivered to me. I buy one in the morning to read it on the way in, and the one that's delivered I read in the evening at home.
It's that simple. And I suppose you're going to tell me that since I've been away, Gladys learned how to smoke those Turkish blowtorches.
No, but, well, you know how chain smokers are, son. They're bound to run out of their own brand sometime, and they'll smoke anything they can get their hands on.
Anything they can get? Oh, sure. Anyone could figure that out.
But why talk about newspapers and cigarettes, Marty? We have only 5 minutes together.
Don't talk about anything. What a chump I've been. What a sap. Oh, Dad. Dad, you don't know.
I know only one thing, Marty. That you didn't do it.
How do you know that?
Well, who would have known better?
What does that mean?
Why, you're my boy. Oh, you've been wild, but that was because you were so hurt when I remarried.
When she turned out to be what she was.
Oh, you don't have to keep reminding me of that, son.
Oh, I'm sorry, Dad, I'm sorry.
Anyway, I know my boy, Marty. And you didn't kill her.
Makes no difference, Dad. They got an airtight case against me. I'm gonna fry just as crisp as though I did it.
I never thought for more than a second that you killed her, Marty. The way you kept jabbering, you were in Baltimore, I was here, you were in Baltimore. Like a needle stuck in a wrecking.
What can we do now, Lieutenant?
Do? Well, it's out of my hands. You go to trial.
Trial? For what? You say you know I didn't kill him.
Listen, kid, you framed yourself too well. You didn't leave a shred of evidence that points to the real killer. You had a motive. You cleaned up every trace of someone else, and now that someone else is laughing up his sleeve.
But, wait a minute, they can't convict me and execute me for a crime I didn't commit.
Take it easy, kid.
Take it easy? You mean take the rap? You mean you'd like me to sit with my hands folded like a good little boy and let him shave my skull, slit open my pants leg because somebody else broke her neck?
Well, have you got a real idea who that somebody could be?
How would I know? Do you think I ran around with her friends? I never saw one of them. But I'll bet she had a little black book that was so full it was spilling over.
Son, I told you, this thing is out of my hands. According to police routine...
But we're talking about a life! Don't you understand? My life!
And I'm trying to tell you that you're talking to the wrong man. See the DA, kid. He's the only one who can help you.
Every word of my confession was a deliberate lie, sir. A lie. See, I dictated it, and I reenacted the whole thing before the camera because I thought I was protecting someone else, see.
The real murderer?
No, but I thought so at the time, sir.
Well, what was this somebody's name?
I'd rather not tell you that.
Why not, if he's innocent?
Because I don't want him dragged through the mud.
Here's the report you've been waiting for, sir.
Oh, thanks, Endicott.
Yes, sir.
Now, look, Delavan, I'm too busy to play games. This report establishes beyond doubt that it was your skin and blood under her fingernails. That clinches it for me.
But wait a minute,
that's all.
Don't you...
I'll see you at the trial. And I guess you know how it'll come out.
So callous was this killer, so conscienceless, that not only did he freely admit his guilt, he willingly reenacted the whole ghastly thing before the police department's camera, as you've seen. Far from showing remorse for his crime, he gloried in it. You know the evidence. His fingerprints, his blood under her nails. I ask that you return a verdict that will make mandatory the extreme penalty. Death for Martin Delavan.
I'm going to die. Dad... Find a way out for me, will you?
I don't know where to turn, Marty. I'd give my life to save you.
Would you, Dad? Would you sometimes, you know, people just use that expression. I sometimes wonder if they really would do a thing like that.
Isn't that what you did for me? It's such a shame, Marty, that this should happen to us because of her. The only good thing she ever did was to bring us together again. By dying.
Then you knew all about her.
For a long time. But I kept hoping...
Well, maybe she didn't appreciate you, Dad, but... but I do.
You're not so bad yourself.
Dad?
Yes?
It's probably too late, but... One part of my story was true. She had been talking to somebody.
What?
The receiver was off the hook, and there was still a party on the other end.
Who was it?
That I don't know. I picked up the receiver, and I said, "Hello." I heard a funny kind of gasp and then a click. But Dad, don't you see? It means somebody's ear was in on that murder. We've got a witness. Somebody who knows I didn't do it. He and the guy who murdered him.
All right. Time's up, kid.
Huh? Can't we have just another 5 minutes?
We've got rules here, mister.
I'm just the right guy to be worried about rules. Shove off, will you?
Come on now.
Wait a
Let's
minute.
Let's not make a fuss. No
Shove
no.
off, will you? Dad, did Come you try on, everything? Kid. Try everything.
Come on.
Take your hands off of me.
Listen. Just because you're going to die, don't give you any special privileges,
no,
everybody.
Leave me go.
Hey, Joe.
Dad. Dad,
come on,
Dad, help me.
Turn, Marty. Tell me what to
help
do.
Help me, Dad.
Marty, tell me how to help you.
Steele. Dr. Steele. Lieutenant Steele. Tell him. Tell him about the phone call. Tell him we've got a witness. Dad, remember, it's a matter of time. I haven't got much time.
Look, Miss Jane, a boy's life depends on this, and we haven't got much time, either.
Is there anything I can do to help?
Fine, now let's see. It was around 6 PM when Marty Delavan got off the train and tried to call home.
Uh-huh.
He got a busy signal. Let's give ourselves a break and say it was the same party who was on the line when he came home. Could you trace that call?
Well, I can try, Lieutenant. A call that long would have plenty of overtime on it.
Well, stretch it out a little, kind of narrow down the field. Say 5 minutes before he called, another 10 before he gave up, another 10 to get out to the house on the bus, and then coming in, looking around, finding the receiver off the hook. Say 45 minutes.
Oh, my gosh.
What's the matter?
I just happened to think. What if Mrs. Delavan put in that call? You'd have a record of it, but the charge would be on her bill. That wouldn't show the name of the person she was calling.
Those are the breaks. I'll see what I can do.
Hello.
Hello, Lieutenant.
Oh, what'd you find?
Well, that call was placed by Mrs. Delavan.
No.
To a Mr. William J. Simmons.
Sure. What?
You see, Mrs. Delavan always complained about her bills. She never stopped saying we were cheating her. Well, we had to put a monitor on her telephone and make a record of every number she called.
Fine, fine. But what was that name?
Beginning at 5:30 on the evening of November 3rd, Mrs. Delavan talked for 39 minutes to a subscriber named William J. Simmons, 798 Shore Avenue.
That kid isn't any of the things you called him in the courtroom. I know. And I couldn't stand by and see him fry for a murder he didn't commit.
Steele, you're a fine detective, but a little too much of an optimist. Now, this weasel you brought in here, his story is only as good as the amount of proof you can attach to it.
Look, I'm no weasel. I didn't want to get mixed up in this because I got a wife and kids, see? You know what it means if your wife finds out you've been playing around?
Tell it into the dictograph.
Huh? How do I start?
With your name.
William J. Simmons, 798 Shore Avenue.
Okay. You were acquainted with Mrs. Gladys Delavan?
Yes.
You were in love with her?
Well, in a way.
Tell us what you heard over the telephone at 6 o'clock on the evening she was murdered.
Well, we were talking, just talking, see, about how we felt. Suddenly I hear this guy's voice on the phone somewhere off in her house. He yells, "Where were you yesterday? We had a date, didn't we?" Then he comes closer, still yelling.
What did he say?
Oh, all kinds of stuff. Names, things like that. Then she begins to scream, "Don't, Steve. Don't. You're hurting me, Steve." I can tell he's got her by the neck. He's choking her. I can tell he's choking her.
Come on, kid. On your feet.
Is it time?
Time for what?
You know...
I don't know anything. You're wanted in the warden's office. Come on.
What's up?
Search me. Hey, that's pretty good. I'm the guard, you're the prisoner, but I say you search me.
Do you know who's with the warden?
Well, that local Dick Steele.
McTavish of Scotland Yard.
A couple of other guys and your old man.
My father? What do they want with my father?
Search me. Hey, I said it again.
We ought to hold you for obstructing justice, young fellow, but I suppose you and your father have suffered enough.
So it was somebody else. Somebody else all the time.
Your description of the murdered lady was very accurate. She got around.
Who is he? How'd you find him?
Well, that's a pretty terrific story, Marty. You see, we traced the guy who was on the phone, and he heard Mrs. Delavan holler the name Steve. Now, a detective has to be smart. He's got to be a psychologist, a science bug, an incredible kind of a guy who can take the name Steve and pick a murderer out of 140 million people. So how did I do it?
Well, how?
I opened her little black address book. Remember, you tipped me off to that. And looked for a guy named Steve. And there he was, Steve Barton. So I picked him up.
McTavish of Scotland Yard.
And this time with a real confession.
How do you feel now, son?
I don't know. I've done so much thinking about what it means to die that I'm not sure which world I'm standing in.
Now tell me, kid, what was the name of that newspaper you burned, and who did smoke that cigarette?
Dad, is all this on the level?
On the level, Martin.
Well, just to keep it on the level, gentlemen, it was the Baltimore Star, the paper my dad always reads, and the cigarette was his favorite brand. Maybe you understand now. Come on, Dad. Take me home.
Thank you, Mickey Rooney, for a splendid performance.
It was fun to do. It's been a real pleasure to be here. And I'll be listening next week when Radio's Outstanding Theater of Thrills presents Bob Hope in Death Has a Shadow. Another gripping study in...
Suspense.
Mickey Rooney appeared by arrangement with Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, producers of the Technicolor picture Little Women, starring June Allison, Peter Lawford, Margaret O'Brien, and Elizabeth Taylor. Tonight's suspense play was based on a story by William Irish and adapted by Herb Meadow. Music was composed by Lucian Morawek and conducted by Lud Gluskin. The entire production was under the direction of Anton M. Leader. In the coming weeks, Suspense will present such stars as James Stewart, Claire Trevor, Frederick March, and many others. Make it a point to listen each Thursday to Suspense, Radio's Outstanding Theater of Thrills. And next Thursday, same time, hear Bob Hope in Death Has a Shadow.
You can buy Autolite resistor spark plugs, Autolite safehold batteries, Autolite electrical parts at your neighborhood Autolite dealers. Switch to Autolite. Good night.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
That's Suspense with a Lie, starring Mickey Rooney from April 28, 1949. That entire production was under the direction of Anton M. Leader. Now, there's a name you don't hear much anymore.
Anton.
Anton. You don't name your kid Anton anymore. Or Harlow.
No.
Yeah.
No. But you know what? These
names, those antiquated
names, are generational. They come back around.
Antiquated. All right, let's take a break. Then it's more on the WGN Radio Theater.